Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is John Ball, who's managing director with Stifel Nicolaus. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kemp. Great to be on the show.
Good to have you with us. I know now that the publicly traded companies in our business have reported in, it's always good to catch up with you and get a read on their performance in the third quarter. Let's talk about Mohawk. Many people were surprised to see that on the top level, the revenue side, 10% growth. I think that was actually 8% when you took out all the currency numbers. But talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and the Mohawk division itself was in the plus 6% area for the quarter year over year, and that was pretty impressive. You know, we have carpet and rug data suggests that units were down fairly materially in the residential world, and that the commercial had slowed up. Obviously, we have some inflation and price increases that were put through, but it really looks like fairly material market share gain within the carpet and rug segment for Mohawk. I know they got aggressive late last year, early this year with some of the home centers, and that seems to be coming to fruition. But they had good performance in Deltile and good performance in the Utland as well. They're growing in a lot of these markets. Europe, as you know, is very slow, and they're still finding ways to grow. They're expanding the home center channel with laminate in Europe. So, yeah, it was a pretty impressive top-line performance in what is still, as you know, a very challenging environment still.
Let me jump in, because many people that don't track this every day may not know. You jumped right on to say the Mohawk segment. And that's the Mohawk-branded segment, and there's a big piece of that that's in carpet and rug, right?
They've never divulged the exact number, but I think you can assume that better than 90% of the Mohawk-branded product is either carpet or rug.
Yeah, they have a very diverse business. You know, when you start talking about the rug business, they actually sell to even the mass merchants and do over $600 million in that piece of the business. And then everybody knows they're in the broadloom side of the residential business and in the broadloom and carpet tile side of the commercial business. And Jeffrey actually had a quote or two that said that all sectors were up some. And, you know, I don't know if you get a good read. We think that the flooring business, and this is a little bit of a projection, but it might be up 3% from a revenue perspective this year. So for them to be up 6, that's definitely a share take, right?
Yeah, we slice and dice numbers a lot of different ways,
right.
But this performance was significantly above some of the industry numbers I've seen, and I wouldn't argue too much with your number.
And like you said, some of it's in the home center. I know they had a major, about a 30-foot new display that they put into Lowe's this year, and that had to help.
Yep, absolutely. Now, you know, the margins could be better. They were in line with my thinking, but they were running 4% type EBIT margins within the carpet and rug business. And, you know, that's just not long range. That's not where it needs to be to cover your cost of capital. But we've been dealing with inflating raw materials, as you know. The industry's units are down, so it's a very competitive environment. So I'm not suggesting it's a bad number in light of competitive conditions, but it is certainly well below the high single-digit EBIT margins that most of the industry was running at prior to the Great Recession.
You said a minute ago about slicing and dicing numbers. It's also very hard to tell what part of that revenue growth was international versus domestic, right?
Well, not as hard. I mean, the Unilin business does have a growing U.S. piece, but it's still dominated by the European concentration. And that European concentration is not just laminate flooring, but indeed is in other building product, roof trusses and laminate for furniture and other types of products. But, you know, the Mohawk segment is predominantly North American. Certainly, Deltile has a growing presence now in Mexico, but it's still pretty much a North American business. So you can look at Deltile and Mohawk segment numbers and feel pretty comfortable. A vast, vast majority of that's U.S. and or North American.
Okay. Well, let's stick with soft and go over to Interface, if you will. Third quarter for them, their numbers have been out for a little while. They grew to $273 million for the quarter versus $252.7 the year before, right?
Yeah. Now, this company has a greater exposure outside of the U.S.
Right.
In fact, the majority of their sales now are non-U.S. North American might be slightly above 50% or right at 50% if you throw in Canada. But here we had a very different story by geography. Interface's business in the U.S., particularly in the corporate office market, was very strong. But they did see weakness in Australia, Japan, and parts of Western Europe, which shouldn't surprise you given what is going on over there. So very different story depending on what part of the world you're looking at for Interface.
After Ray Anderson passed away, they've given the chairmanship to Dan Hendricks.
Yeah, Ray was a remarkable man who accomplished many great things and had that unusual ability to lead and to balance business with environmental concerns. And I really think that was his legacy, that he was a businessman, yet he was able to, you know, take environmental considerations and really focus on that long before it became fashionable, to be honest, and was able to do it in a cost-effective manner. And it was that ability and his passion and his leadership in that regard that really distinguished him from so many others. And we'll miss him.
That's right. A small town, Georgia, southern gentleman.
Yes, indeed.
All right, let's talk about Armstrong. Armstrong results, net sales rose 4.6%. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, the real outlier to me with Armstrong was, once again, the wood segment, which for the second quarter in a row had double-digit EBIT margins and had, I believe it was a 6% top-line growth year-over-year in the wood segment. Those would clearly represent share gains from what I think wood flooring has been doing, and the profitability is alarmingly good in light of where that segment's margins have been over the last 4 or 5 years. So very strong performance there. Vinyl, you know, so-so. Certainly they're battling the raw material costs there with resins having escalated. But, you know, and ceiling tiles, it holds its own. Relatively flat kind of unit environment right now in the ceiling tiles business. But pricing and mix have been somewhat favorable there. So very strong margins on their ceilings business.
Yeah, just to go back to wood for a minute with Armstrong, you know, they've been losing share, and it sounds like they've kind of hit a sweet spot, possibly. They've closed some less profitable to operate plant, and so I guess this earnings number would tell you that they've kind of cut the dead weight out, wouldn't you say?
Well, you know, we've had now, unfortunately, 5 to 6 years
right.
of this downturn, Kemp, to try to adjust our capacities lower. And I think the real surprise here is they've now found a way to grow revenue. Certainly they've got a greatly enhanced position with the home center channel, who I think is gaining share at the retail level. So the ability to grow revenue on a reduced cost basis is what's driving that margin. A lot of companies have been able to cut the cost, but few have been able to grow revenue, particularly in the wood category at this time.
Our November issue just sat on the street. You probably haven't seen it yet, but we talk about the wood sector overall. And as this market starts to recover, you know, starting next year and looking forward, wood stands to gain perhaps better than any other sector in the business.
I hope you're right. Certainly its exposure to single-family residential construction, which is down 75 to 80% from the peak, has decimated the category. The good news, if you want to call this good news, is that number just seemingly can't go lower. We're down around 400,000, 420,000 single-family housing starts annually right now. And we've sort of been bottoming at that number for a while. We have seen, like so many flooring products, though, a continued mix shift towards lower price points. That's been a problem within wood as well. Hopefully that erosion is in the process of bottoming. So I think people still want wood. People still like wood. It's a preferred flooring. Obviously, it's fairly expensive. You know, I think once we see a little more confidence in the consumer for big ticket, and then even just a slight uptick in single-family starts, we'll see the beginning of a recovery for this category.
Okay, well, you've just listened to the conference calls for these three companies and heard them talk about how things look for the future for the fourth quarter and into next year. What's the consensus?
Everybody's forecast, or many, I should say, for the last 5 years have been dead wrong. So I think forecasts are treated with a huge cube, not grain of salt. And, you know, so I think going into 2011, there was some optimism, and the first quarter started fairly strong, and then we ran into a series of issues in the summer, and it's created a, frankly, fairly tepid fall. So once again, everybody's looking to 2012 as a year that maybe we can see some growth. I certainly think on the residential side, there's some room for optimism. Certainly, multifamily housing is coming back. It looks like housing resales have sort of bottomed. We talked about single family starts not going lower. But there's been a recent slowdown in the commercial side, particularly government and K through 12, and for obvious reasons with all the budgetary constraints. So I think the outlook on commercial is a little bit suspect, to be honest. I'd be a little more bullish on the residential picture.
And then comes the election year and what that might do to consumer sentiment. So it's just hard to tell, isn't it?
Well, if there's any good news, the debacle in Washington this summer and the consumer confidence numbers that came out of that didn't seem to affect retail spending greatly. So while there's a tremendous amount of frustration with the logjam in Washington that will certainly continue through the election, I don't know. It seems to me like people are a little bit, Washington's going to be Washington, and I've got to go about my life, do my own thing. And providing that incomes don't go down, and there is some job creation. It's small, but there is some positive momentum there. The incomes are what matter at the end of the day. Sentiment surveys and consumer confidence surveys can vacillate with the time of day and the mood you're in. But at the end of the day, the job outlook and the job situation currently are really what drive consumer spending.
Okay, John, well, I appreciate your read on this. Again, we've been talking to John Ball, who's managing director with Stifel Nicolaus, about the publicly traded floor covering companies. And you've been listening to Kempar and FloorDaily.net.